Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this evening that you have allowed us this opportunity to come here once more to hear the gospel of your Son Jesus proclaimed. We are so thankful tonight that Brother Colley is speaking on an important topic, that he can direct our attention to where hope can be found. We pray, Lord, tonight that someone is searching for the truth this evening, and that they are willing to lay aside those impediments that will keep them from being able to accept the message tonight as your pure and unadulterated word. We are thankful, Lord, for the Bible, your inspired word that is able to guide us to all truths. We pray, Lord, tonight that in listening to Brother Colley, there will be a soul whose heart is pricked that will ask that question, men and brethren, what must I do? Heavenly Father, thank you for placing Brother Colley in that path tonight. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Flunder. Always a pleasure to work with you. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel call. We're so thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. We pray now you open your Bible and follow along with our speaker tonight. And please pay attention to those things that you need to know about saving your soul. Our speaker tonight is a person, Brother Gary Colley. Brother Gary has been with me since day one of this gospel meeting. In May, he started with me. It has been a great resource for me to reach many sound preachers across the nation. He's one of the instructors at the Memphis School of Preaching, and Brother Colley is a great man of God and a great man with knowledge and wisdom from the Scriptures. I've been so blessed to have the privilege of meeting him, to be able to work with him. And out of all the speakers, he's been on every night, supporting not only when he speaks, but support when other preachers are speaking. That's important to me. And so, Brother Colley, I want to thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for all you have done. So tonight, I ask you all to give your attention to Brother Colley, Gary Colley, who will speak about where hope is found. This week is about hope, all week long, speaking about the same thing, hope. Brother Colley, tell us about where hope is found.
Thank you for that kind introduction and for the opportunity to meet with so many of our people and friends and neighbors all over the world in the study of the Word of God. It is our desire, of course, to speak only as the oracles of God, as is commanded in 1 Peter 4:11. It is our desire also that all of this audience might know the intentions are simple and plain, and that we do not desire to hurt anyone's feelings or injure anybody, but to learn the Word of God that is able to make us wise unto salvation. We truly believe that the nationwide gospel meeting has been and is a wonderful tool for getting the gospel to the masses. And it has been my pleasure to have a small part in this. I certainly appreciate those comments Brother Tommy Brooks just made, that the elders, the secretary, Brother Anthony Flunder, and others have done so much good work in presenting the great opportunities for souls to hear the simple but powerful Word of God, the hope that we have in Christ. It is the only place, my friends, that we can find that, and therefore to obey the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the remission of sins is of the greatest importance. Paul felt that way too, you know, in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He said, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. For if I preach not the gospel, woe is unto me." In other words, misery and pain would be his if he didn't preach the gospel. In Romans 1:16, it's the power of God to save. And in 1 Corinthians 1:10, as has been referred to already, as our theme for the week, "Now I beseech you," Paul said, "brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." My friends, I have had people say to me, "That's an impossibility. You cannot have a group of people of the same mind and of the same judgment." But now wait, my friends, you need to consider this. We're not talking about the color that you paint the outside of the church building. We're not talking about the color of pews that we may have in the church building. But we're talking about those things that are of the authority of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, he said, "Now, you do these things by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Speak the same thing. In other words, we're to speak only as the oracles of God. Do you notice in these first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians 1 that 10 times it is said that the Lord Jesus Christ is the authority in all things? Matthew 28, of course, verse 18, he said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you teach them to observe all things that I've taught you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world." Did you notice the word things here? Speak the same things. You know, sometimes we overlook those little words in the text that are very meaningful. The things here are the commands, the precepts, the oracles, the promises, the threatenings, and the promises of the gospel. So if we all speak the same things, we'll be speaking about those things which are revealed to us in the text of the Bible. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Where is hope to be found? Well, we're going to learn tonight, I trust, exactly where it's found so that we will know where we want to be and where we want to live. In Acts 26, you remember that Paul's commission was that he should go and open the eyes of the people, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and that they might receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's Acts 26, verse 14 through 18. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Well, you know the Corinthian people, they really prided themselves on their wisdom and their knowledge and their philosophy. And to say that salvation was by the cross of Christ, why, it baffled all their wisdom, disregarded their philosophy. In other words, what Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says was absolutely true. "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. So if the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, it is unto us who are saved the power of God." So one of the outstanding accomplishments of this effort has been found in the many gospel preachers that have come from all parts of the world, different areas, different situations in which they live, but they all preach for the same book, and they all say the same thing. Therefore, they're ready to give answer to every man that asketh them a reason concerning the hope that is within them, yet with meekness and with fear. In John 17:17, it said, "You sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, it's our desire tonight that many others may hear the faithful preachers preach the word and obey that will, and then cause others to desire to preach the same gospel. Paul said, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Do I yet persuade men? Or am I trying to please men instead of God?" Well, everybody knew Paul only pleased God or desired to do so. Well, where can we find hope? Well, first of all, my friends, what is hope? Hope, of course, sometimes is used in the word help. I've heard people say, "Let me hope you over the fence." Well, that simply means they want to help you over the fence. But actually, hope is not help. Hope is expectation with desire. One man said, "Hope springs eternal," and isn't that the truth? And I know one thing, my friends, for sure, there's no sweeter thing in the world than the presence of God in our lives. Hope fuels opportunity, doesn't it? And where there is life, there's going to be hope. If you're still living, you still have the opportunity to establish hope in your life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance comes from two Latin words, sub and stance, which means to stand under. So if you have no faith, of course you have no hope. But when you have faith because you have listened to the word of God and obeyed it, then you have hope. You have the right of expectation with desire. And the Bible teaches, does it not, that the promises of the Lord bring hope? 1 John 2:25, he said, "This is the promise which he promised us, even life eternal." And in Hebrews the 6th chapter, verse 17 and 18, wherein he said, "God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in within the veil. Well, isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God cannot lie, and that God does give us hope? Jesus does the same. He can't lie either. In Hebrews 13:8-9, Jesus Christ, he said the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Be not carried about by divers and strange doctrines. In other words, do not leave the doctrine of Christ. Speak the same thing. Speak only those oracles of God. Romans 15:4, he said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures, watch it now, might have hope. And in Ephesians 4:3-6, why, the Ephesian church had hope, and they needed to hold on to it, because Paul says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. I suppose you know, my friends, as well as ourselves, that the denominational people deny every one of these. They do not believe there's only one body. They do not believe there's only one Spirit to direct us in the teaching. And they don't believe there's just one hope. No, they believe there's hope in different things. We shall notice those in just a moment. Brother Brant Stubblefield will be discussing on Friday evening the one hope of your calling. And I know you'll want to hear his lesson. And we are called, of course, but not in a direct calling. No, no, we're called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Therefore, he says in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And Jesus said in John 8:31-32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what a wonderful thing to know that hope is there for the taking. We are to those who remember that hope is that by which we are saved. Romans 8:24-25, five times in these verses the word hope is used. Watch it here. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Now, Tuesday evening, Brother Adam Orr is going to be teaching that subject. For he says now that hope that is seen is not hope, but what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Hope is both, my friends, comforting and sustaining. Hebrews 6:10-11, we've already noticed that. There's that full assurance of hope and full assurance of faith, Hebrews 10:22-23. Hope is sure and steadfast. How sad it is to know that on some occasions we must hear the pronouncement made concerning our loved ones. There is no hope. But you know, worse than that is to hear the Lord say in eternity, I'm sorry, my friend, there is no hope. Brother Andy Irwin is going to be discussing that subject on Thursday evening. Hope you will listen. In other words, I expect you to, and I desire you to do. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he said, now, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. Oh, what a sad condition that is. Now, the one hope is the consequence of entering the church which Jesus built, the kingdom of Christ. To enter that, of course, is the way of life. Jesus said, enter ye in at the narrow way, or the narrow gate. For broad is the way, and the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many are they that enter in thereat. But here are some who want to enter, and yet they don't want to enter the narrow way. They want to go in the broad way that leads to life, but it doesn't lead to life. It leads to destruction. So refusal to enter or to obey the gospel and its truths is to forfeit eternal hope, my friend. Let me say that again. If you refuse to enter the church of our Lord, you refuse to obey the simple truths of the gospel, even unto baptism, yes, you forfeit eternal life. In other words, you give up without a contest. Well, the consequence of not entering the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the same hope of the gospel, will not unite you in Christ. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for the unity of his followers in John 17, 20 and 21. Now, we're looking for the same happiness, are we not? Beyond the time of death of the body, James 2, 26. The body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. And therefore, we're looking for the same heaven. Well, today, men seek their hope in many different ways. Some believe in a renovated earth. But listen, friend, that's not a good belief and not really good hope, because this earth's going to be burned up. 2 Peter 3 so teaches. And then there are those who look for hope in pleasure. You cannot possibly find enough pleasure to satisfy your desires of soul. There are some who want honor here, or others who want money, others who their only hope is education. And this is their hope. But all is a part of this world, isn't it? And Jesus said, what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? This kind of hope cannot produce unity. It cannot produce harmony. We can't all speak the same things on this. But we'll give reason for men to seek a contest or a rivalry. No, not unity, not harmony, but rivalry and contest. Two men may hope for the same joy, or they may look for the same honor in higher education, or they might vie for the hand of a young lady as their bride, but there may be more than one vying for the same young lady. Thus there will be contention, there will be strife, there will be words of envy and jealousy, since only one can prevail. But not so with the hope of the crown of life. When Paul said, I'm already being offered, 2 Timothy 4:8, and the time of my departure is at hand, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course, and henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not unto me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. What shall be able, upon our part, to enjoy as Christians, being in heaven together? Remember, Abraham looked for a heavenly city. When he was called, he went out not knowing whether he went, but he obeyed. And he did so by faith. When God spoke, Abraham heard, Abraham acted. For he looked for a city, says the latter part of verse 10, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Paul says, too, you're called in one hope of your calling. Just as there is only one body, or church, one spirit or doctrine, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, there's also only one hope, my friends, that the Bible gives us. But we can all gain this hope if we're in Christ, in his church. Salute one another with a holy kiss, Romans 16:16. The churches of Christ salute you. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. And in 1 Corinthians 1, then, Paul said, now, brethren, you're going to have to walk as one. You cannot be divided. Paul wasn't crucified for you. You're not to fall into that. You're not to think that you're followers of Paul, but you're followers of the Lord. And so we find there are many blessings that can be had if we will but partake of them. So when you hear somebody say, and I'm sure that some of you have heard this said, one doesn't have to be a member of the church to be saved today. Others strongly contend the church does not save anyone. Indicating, of course, if not saying it, that men can be saved outside the church as well as in the church of Christ. Still others, of course, say one can be a Christian and not be a member of any church. Well, is that true? All one must do to be saved, says another, is to live an upright, moral life, be a good citizen, and he'll be in heaven assured. But though he is not affiliated with any church, he's still a good Christian man. Oh, he's not obeyed the gospel, no, but he's still a good Christian. But my friends, that's not proven by the Bible. There's still others who face members of the churches of Christ with the statement, you and your little group believe that you're the only ones who are going to be saved. Well, I know that that seems to be the case with some people, but may we ask you a question? In all kindness, my friends, who do you believe will be saved? And your answer, I believe, will be this. Why, those who obey the Lord will be saved. Well, that's exactly what members of the churches of Christ believe. But will you agree that those who will not obey Christ in wearing his name, in following the creed of the book divine, the Bible, in worshiping that we perform in harmony with that which is taught there, in the life that we live, will these not be saved? And if they were willing to be saved, what about those who do not live by that name, who do not have that same creed, who do not worship in that same way, who do not live the life that is taught in the Bible a Christian ought to live? We would go so far as to affirm, my friends, that these cannot be saved because the Bible does not say they will be. So let the Bible settle the matter. Wouldn't that be a good idea? If the Bible teaches that 1 or 1,000 can be saved outside of being in Christ or his church, then let us assure you, my friends, we want to teach that too and uphold that doctrine. If you can show us in those texts of the Bible where that is true, then certainly we would be glad to teach that. But it's not there. And it appeals to us that this is a fair way to look at it. If the parties involved and upon all which we can agree, let us be reminded that Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So does God want all to be saved? Oh, I think there's no doubt about that. He gave his commission to all the world, to every creature, to all nations, and he said the same to all. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Further then, we should be acknowledging and accepting the fact that the Lord is able to save. He's ready to save. He's willing to save. Therefore, it is not any reason why men shouldn't be saved, but it is also reasonable that the Lord has the right to say when we're saved, where we're saved, and how we're saved. Is that not true? It's our prayer that all will study, come to the conclusion that anyone who denies these Bible facts will not be, of course, saved because they're not walking in the truth, and they should be marked as false teachers. 1 Peter 5:8, he said, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith. Well, where does God purpose to save? I suggest to your hearing tonight that where God purposes to save is where hope is found. And you can't find hope out of the place where God has placed it, can you? But until we study God's revelation, we must admit that none of us know where God will save. But 1 Corinthians 2:9-11, he said, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? And even so, the things of God knoweth no man, save the Spirit of God and the spirit of man. And you know, the Spirit of God, you wouldn't know those things unless he revealed them. And I don't know what you're thinking tonight unless you open your mouth and reveal what your heart says. You know, in Acts 4:12, he did say, in no other is there salvation, none other name under heaven given among men wherein we must be saved. So is the church non-essential when the Lord died in order that men might have that privilege of being members of the divine institution called the Church of Christ? You know, it's not possible, my friends, in our beliefs and in our brief study tonight, to list all the things the Bible mentions that are advantages to people who are in Christ. However, it is our purpose to enumerate at least 12 of these tonight that are found to be found in Christ, which cannot be found out of Christ. Please be knowledgeable of the fact that not one of these privileges is ever said to be found out of Christ. The Bible identifies these things as being in Christ, so we shall notice them, I trust, together. Remember that we have one hope in Christ, and that means, of course, that we are to look to him for all of our blessings. Now, all spiritual blessings, where are they to be found? Well, Ephesians 1:3 answers that question when he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, to be in Christ is to be in his church, Ephesians 1:22-23, Colossians 1:18. So where are all spiritual blessings that we can have? Well, they're in Christ. How many spiritual blessings are out of Christ? Not one, my friend. I cannot find one. Can you find one? Then second of all the promises of God, where are they? Well, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, he said, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. where all the promises of God to be found? And where can we live so that we may have those promises fulfilled one day in our lives? In Christ. That's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Third of all acceptance of man by God is in Christ. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Out of the beloved? No. Who is the beloved? Why, it's Jesus himself, his only begotten Son. And he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Then in verse 7, he said, in whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Well, that means that all acceptance of man by God is in Christ. Friend, if you're not in Christ, you're not accepted by God. Oh, it says in Acts 10, 34-35, the same thing. Peter said at the house of Cornelius, now I perceive, or understand, that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Who's accepted of him? Those who fear God, they reverence God, they keep his commandments. Well, that's about what Solomon said, didn't he, in Ecclesiastes 12, when he said, this is the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. But all acceptance is in Christ. But this number four, let's see that all forgiveness and pardon and reconciliation is in Christ. We just noticed that in Ephesians 1, 6 and 7. And in verse 7 particularly said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Well, what a wonderful thing to have the riches of his grace for ourselves. And that, my friends, gives us hope, doesn't it? Hope is expectation of enjoying these blessings in eternity. And then number five, all grace that is offered by God is in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, Paul wrote to Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Where is his grace to be found? In Christ Jesus. What about the grace outside of Christ? No, not to be found. No, it must be in Christ. Number six, all inheritance of sonship is in Christ. In Ephesians 1:11, notice he says, in whom? That is, in Christ. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Now, we are predestined to be saved if we'll come into the church which Jesus died to build and purchase with his own blood, his own teaching. And Romans 8:15 through 17 says, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again under fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. All inheritance of sonship is in Christ. Friend, if you've not identified yourself with the Lord by obeying his will, even unto baptism, you're not going to be enjoying the inheritance that comes in Christ Jesus our Lord. But seventh of all sanctification, all being set apart to the honor and glory of God. Let's see where that's found. 1 Corinthians 1:2, Paul wrote, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Well, where's all sanctification to be found? Paul said it's in Christ, under the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart to the Lord's service, set apart to his work. And then all new life is there too. You know, John 3:3-5, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Jesus knew what Nicodemus was looking for. He was looking for the kingdom, which was soon to be established. He was looking for the new life. You know, new life always comes after birth. I can't understand why people won't understand that they can't have new life until they're born. And new life comes when we're born into the family of God. Now, if you'll read John 3:3-5, you'll understand when that happens. He said, except a man be born again, He can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He can't enjoy its blessings. No, no. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, some men say, well, I can enter the kingdom without being baptized. Jesus says you can't, friend. And if Jesus says you can't, I don't see how anybody could think they could do so. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Where is that to be found? In Christ. Well, what about the calling of God? Don't you believe we need to be called of God if we're going to be saved? Absolutely. Philippians 3:14, though, says this, I press toward the mark unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's in the church. That's in the Lord's kingdom. All calling of God is there. Then again, all members of the one body are in Christ. Yes, Romans 12 and verse 5. So we, Paul writes, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Where are these members? Any of them out of Christ? No. All of them are in Christ. And next of all, number 11, all blessed dead are in Christ. Revelation 14, 13, there we find John writing the report of the Lord when he said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow after them. Question, my friends, if you die out of Christ, will it be all right with you in eternity? Oh, you say, no, I would have no hope. Why not? Because I did not respect his word. I did not walk in his will. I did not live in harmony with that which is taught in the Bible. And therefore, I have no hope. 12th of all inhabitants of heaven and the mansions that are there are those who are in Christ. You remember John 14, do you not? Verse 1 begins, you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall return again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whether I go, ye may know the way. Thomas said then to the Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How know we the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you hope to go to the Father when you die? You're going to have to be in Christ if that hope is real. In Romans 8, verse 16 and 17, there Paul says, we're all made the children of God in one way. He said, this is the way. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, here's the Spirit's teaching, and here's what I've done. The Spirit says you have to hear the word. I say, I have heard the word. The Spirit says you must believe the word. I say, I have believed it with all of my heart. The Spirit says you must repent of your sins, change your life. I say, I have repented. And if I have, wonderfully so. But it says also, the Spirit says you must confess the name of Christ before men with your mouth. And I just like that eunuch on the way that he was being taught. I say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that, my friends, is prerequisite to baptism. And then in verse 17, he says we're all to live in harmony with that which is spoken of in the book. The Spirit says, by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And that, my friends, is the way we know we have the inheritance from God. You know, it is so simple and true that there are only two passages in all the Bible that directly tell us how to get into Christ. And yet a man can't be saved out of Christ. He can't have the spiritual blessings or the promises or knowing that he's accepted, knowing that he has forgiveness and pardon and reconciliation, knowing that the grace of God is applied to him and that the inheritance of sonship belongs to him, that the sanctification and the new life and the calling of God. No, all these things are in Christ, that one body, that church which he established and built with his teaching, purchased with his blood. Oh, yes, my friends, there are only two passages that tell how to get into Christ. Did you know that? Would you listen tonight just a moment and look at these? It is said in Romans 6, 3 and 4. There's the first one. Or are you ignorant, brethren, that as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ, have been baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, even so we should be raised to walk in newness of life. Now, how did they get into Christ? Well, Christ had to die. He had to suffer and die, be buried, and rise again. That's the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. And when men come to that knowledge, then they can confess their faith in him and be baptized into Christ. Well, the second passage that tells us how to get into Christ, the only other one in the Bible that directly tells us how to get into Christ, is Galatians 3:26-27, where Paul said, we're all made the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's not neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male nor female, but we're all one man in Christ. And if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise. How can we help but be impressed with the majestic privileges of having been blessed with the Word of God and having these blessings in our life? They're all to be found in Christ, not one out of Christ. No one should fail to avail themselves of these profound blessings. No, my friends, if we do so, we will live eternally in sorrow, in pain, in difficulty. How can we help but be focused on the greatness of the unsurpassable love of God? It's a wonderful thing to see it, isn't it? Romans 5:8, God committed his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I hear sometimes people say Christ spilled his blood. My friends, I don't believe that's true. I know what it means to spill something. It's an accident, isn't it? It's not intended. No, Christ didn't spill his blood. Christ poured his blood out. In Acts 20:28, this is the way it reads. You are the children of God when you hear the gospel, when you know that place in Christ, in the church, which Jesus purchased with his own blood. That, my friends, will help you to have hope. Now, remember Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we may help you in any way to further understand these truths, please contact us or contact Brother Brooks or Brother Flunder or any of these good people. They'd be glad to help you, and I would too. But until we have another opportunity to meet together to study God's Word, we must now bid you a very pleasant good night.
And thank you for a very, very good message, Brother Colley. We appreciate it. We know where hope's found. It's in Christ, and we are so thankful that you brought this lesson to us. So now if you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we wanted you to know about this hope. It's in Christ. It's in the church. We know that to be in Christ is to be in his body. And we have presented tonight a very, very simple, plain, powerful message. I really enjoyed it tonight myself. And so if you have a question about anything that was said tonight, be sure to get in touch with me. Get back with the person we invite you to the call. Tell them you want to know more. You want to be baptized. You want to be in Christ. You want to miss out on this hope. Go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make sure, no matter where you are in our listening audience, we have a large call tonight. Many are listening all over across the nation. So thankful to have so many on the call tonight. But our targeted audience are those who are not members of the Church of Christ. Hopefully those who are members of the church are being encouraged to know we're obeying the truth and sharing with others. If you would like to go and listen to this message again, it will be on our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. Just tap on the Nationwide Gospel Call tab and all the sermons are there. You can download them, you can listen to them yourself, review them, study them for yourself, and we want you to know that we're providing every means we can to allow you to hear these truths that you need to hear before it's eternally too late. Let's pray to God. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord. Father, we know you loved us, and we know your Son loved us. He gave his life on the cross, suffered for us. And Father, we know that because you've given us your best, You've given us the word, the scripture, that we can read, what we must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized to wash away our sins and be added to your true church, the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ. Thank you for giving us your word so we can read it and have confidence that it's true and obey it before it's eternally too late. We pray for our listening audience, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they have heard this truth, they will receive it with meekness. For you have said it's able to save their souls. Thank you for Brother Colley. Thank you for him, for his wisdom, his knowledge, his ability to deliver the message, and been a supporter of this nationwide gospel meeting call since its conception. Lord, we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so very much, Brother Colley. A great message tonight. We ask everyone to join us again tomorrow night. We got some great speakers coming on this week on this matter of hope tomorrow night. Brother Adam Orr talk about hope that is seen. And on Wednesday night, Brother Randy Key, the God of Hope. And Thursday night, Andy Irwin, those who have no hope. Closing us out this week, Brant Stubblefield, the one hope. All these guys are great preachers, some I've just come to know. Boy, this has been a really great experience for me personally. And so we thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it tonight. Join us tomorrow night. Listen to Brother Adam. He'll bring the word of God to us. Hope that is seen. We love you all. Have a good night.